May the words of my mouth and the thought of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, Lord, our rock and our salvation. Dear friends in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a lot of time is spent on prepping for Christmas. A much shorter time is taken to put it all away. So quickly down it goes. Today, after worship service, all of us who can stay will be able to help put away the decorations that have filled the sanctuary. These decorations helped us celebrate the great person of Christmas, our Savior Jesus. He is the great person who kept his great promise to rescue his great people and his great work of redemption. Or as we looked at using the single verse all December, you will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All the outside is created, boxed, wrapped, and labeled. The glimmer and glitz gets packed away. In the church year, we have gone from Advent through Christmas, and today marks the beginning of Epiphany. Epiphany comes from a word that means to reveal, to take the covers off, to reveal a mystery and a people see. The historic Bible reading is about the Magi, or wise men. Christians today are hearing all about these guys, the Magi from the East. But Epiphany is not about the Magi. Epiphany, those Magi would tell you, is all about the Magi's master. Let us enter this season seeing what God revealed in his word for us. We start in Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" The Lord God, the master of these Magi, came for outsiders. They were foreigners, naturally unknown and usually unwelcome. Perhaps a different language came from their mouths, maybe a different skin color. They listened to different songs, you know, the kind those weird outsiders listen to. They dressed in strange clothes that outsiders dress in, and they were wealthy. Where did they get their money? How did they get rich? It's unknown. They were obviously not poor. There was very little in common that people could see. They were Gentiles. Non-Jews, religiously unclean, they were not a physical part of the group of people God had chosen for his rescue plan. They were from outside the family lines of Abraham and of David. They did not know God's Old Testament worship pattern. They were from a different climate, a different culture, full of strange gods and goddesses. So they were spiritually suspect. Could they trace their ancestors back to Isaac? Did they speak the language of Moses and Isaiah? They seemed to be spiritual strangers in a strange country, uncomfortable for them and for those in Jerusalem as well. But the biggest thing is that they were not from the people of the promise. They were outsiders. So how does it feel to be an outsider? As a social outsider, it's a hard place to be. We've all been there, and for those who can remember, it takes about 2.5 minutes for those on the inside to help an outsider come inside. Have you ever felt like that? Ever felt like you're an outsider to God? Whether you feel like it or not, all of us have been born outsiders to God. None of us knew him from the moment we were conceived. Instead, from that moment, we are outsiders with a sinful nature. Our sins separate us from the holy God. This is way beyond any feeling of uncomfortable. People are born as true outsiders to God, but we cannot just barge into God's dining room with our muddy shoes and raggedy lives. We have nothing and are nothing. We are outsiders to God. The Epiphany season is so refreshing for every outsider because we remember the Magi's master. He came for outsiders. The sinners, the lost. He came to seek and save. God rolled out the red carpet of welcome to the outsider, the foreigner, the alien, the strangers who barely knew him. But he didn't come for outsiders to stay outside. He came for outsiders to declare them insiders and be with them forever. Remember how the Magi's master deliberately drew them to himself. Listen again to what the Bible says. The Magi said, "We saw the king's star when it rose and have come to worship him." Our Lord and Master deliberately drew the Magi. He had recorded a signpost directing how and where he would come. Of course, this signpost beats Google Maps hand down. The journey was long, expensive, lonely, and difficult. The Master drew them deliberately. God used a supernatural star. This star suddenly appeared at the birth of Jesus. Somehow it miraculously moved and guided and directed their journey. God took them through mountains, desert, rivers, good and bad weather, always a fear of being robbed. There were no garments back then, no satellites, no GPS coordinates, not much. God took them across barriers of languages, cultures, time. At times, I'm sure they were tempted with doubt, with fatigue, with obstacles and confusion. I'm sure the scientific geniuses of their day made fun of them for wasting their money, wasting their time, and putting themselves in danger. But the Lord's deliberate love moved and guided them, even through dark and dangerous waters. So let's listen again to what the Bible says. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When King Herod had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship with him. So through doubts, deceit, dangers, politicians, God led them. We know from late in this chapter that Herod was lying. He wanted to trick the Magi so he could find and kill the King of Kings. Troubling waters, troubling times, yet God deliberately drew the Magi to bring them to himself. We also have challenges and obstacles that arise. We run into personal disappointments, troubles, and unexpected disasters, sickness and pain in ourselves or others, the death of those we love. Sometimes we're also tempted to think that the mighty God is somehow unaware of how difficult or dangerous it is for us. But the Bible says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Our peace and joy do not get put up and taken down with the changing seasons. Our God gift was revealed to us and stays with us all the time. God deliberately drew the Magi to himself for a purpose, to reveal himself, and he started the whole event with something so simple and profound, people often miss it. The Master's own words, the Bible, revealed himself. Let's listen again to the Bible. This is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means last among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. After the Magi had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. The Master's own words revealed himself. Somehow God's word had been passed along from Daniel down through the generations to these Magi. They knew what the Bible said about a Messiah, a ruler, a Savior coming from the Jews. The Lord's word had identified not just the country, but the state, the county, and the city, so that when they saw the star had suddenly appeared to guide them once again, they were overjoyed. God was faithfully keeping his word. In faith, they trusted his word was reliable. Now they saw it again before death. The supernatural stars stopped directly over the house where Jesus was. God's plan, God's preparation, God's journey, and his kindness. We continue. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Lord and Master moved them to worship himself. So they joined Simeon and Anna, they joined the shepherds and Joseph and Mary, and in joy bowed down and worshiped Jesus. They gave back to their generous master some of his gifts to them. They had planned for this, although there is no command. They had gathered up ahead of time worthy gifts for the Savior. They now followed through. They freely gave. No rule as to how much, no command as to what type of gifts or how many. God's surprising and generous grace was warming their hearts now. They couldn't help but give of themselves. No stinginess, no grumbling, no comparing. Fresh and clean as God's generous mercies to them, that's how they joyfully lived and gave. Fresh, clean, generous, and joyful. They knew this ruler came to serve. They knew this Lord of all lords was going to suffer and die for their sins too. They trusted this Messiah. They also trusted this Messiah would take them into his kingdom of heaven. What else could they do but say thanks? We have the same Lord and Savior today. We have the Bible in our homes and on our screens and here in America. We have this blessing without fear of bombings or beatings or imprisonment. How in the world could the deadly, greedy, stingy affect us? But sin can. And sin does slither its way in. Our Lord says that Satan and our sinful flesh actually encourage the greedy stingies to poison our hearts and our minds. The Lord warned us many times against loving things of this world, against loving money, and against loving power and fame that money buys. The Lord warns us not to love these things. God came for these outsiders, these magi, just like he came for us. They put aside their social standing and comfortable surroundings to follow. They laid aside treasures to give back to him in joy-filled thanks. So, be a magi for the next couple of weeks, okay? Get into your Bibles, trust him, and deliberately follow his life-giving words, and continue to worship him. So this week, let's continue to display God's worship in how we live and how we give freely, generously, and with joy in the outsider Savior, our Savior. Amen.